Hi, this is Tanya Domi. Welcome to The Thought Project, recorded at the Graduate Center of the City University of New York, fostering groundbreaking research and scholarship in the arts, social sciences, and sciences. In this space, we talk with faculty and doctoral students about the big thinking and big ideas generating cutting-edge research, informing New Yorkers and the world. This week's guest is Steve Romilevsky, director of the CUNY Mapping Service at the Center for Urban Research at the Graduate Center. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Tanya. Glad to be here.
The CUNY Mapping Service is supporting a fair and accurate census count in 2020, and the center is working with a coalition of civil rights groups, philanthropic foundations, and others in hard-to-count communities. Mm-hmm. Can you explain why you're doing this, and can you tell us who are the hard-to-count communities and why so far in advance? It's more than 2 years out.
Sure. So the first thing, the overall reason, is that the decennial census every 10 years is critically important. It's a full count, the only time that the entire population of the country gets counted, and the census numbers are used to determine congressional apportionment, political power across the states. A huge amount of funding gets determined based on the census numbers. So it's really important that the Census Bureau get it right, and they can't do it over. They just do it once, and that's it. So the ability to count everyone is, I guess you could say, it's uneven around the country. So there are some parts of the country where most or almost all of the households in a particular community will get the census questionnaire and they'll mail it back. They'll fill it out right away and mail it back. In 2020, actually, the response is mainly going to be via the internet. So they'll go online and send in their information. And that's great. And that's really the way that we can be sure that the population is counted fairly and accurately. But there are other parts of the country, other communities, where there might be a lot of households that have a lot of other priorities about their everyday lives that doesn't include filling out the census form. Maybe they're single moms, maybe they're in poverty, maybe they're suspicious of the government, and so they're not going to fill out the forms. And then the Census Bureau, because they still have to count everyone, they're going to send out people into communities and knock on doors and ask them to fill out the forms in person. That's expensive, that's time consuming, and that's where people get missed. So in order to make sure that this census count, it's done once every 10 years, can't do it over, is done right, it's really important to try to prioritize outreach efforts and community partnership efforts in areas where the populations that might be harder to count are more concentrated. And so that's what our mapping service is doing. We're taking information from the census to identify these communities, and we've developed a nationwide interactive map that anyone can use to zoom in on areas and see where the hard-to-count communities are, where they're not, to use that information if they're going to be talking to their congressional representatives to urge adequate funding for the census, and also for outreach plans thinking ahead to 2020 itself.
So tell us how the technology that you're using is helping establish a more accurate census count. What does your technology and the instrumentation of your technology, how does that help?
So the Census Bureau provides this list, a big database, a table, that has information on each census tract and how many households are considered hard to count in that tract. And, you know, having that list is nice if you know how to use databases, but in terms of giving that information in an actionable way to a community organization, they need that in a different format. So what we do is we map that information. So we create very powerful visuals that are not just pretty to look at, but analytical and are, you know, rich in information. And we then also take those maps and make them interactive and put them online. So anyone anywhere in the country with internet access could just access that information, zoom into any part of the country, and find out the details. So we take these, you know, boring, daunting lists and turn them into useful information.
Just recently, you participated in a webinar with the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights about the 2020 census. And what was the purpose of that, and how did you participate, and what did you share with the map and to these vulnerable communities?
So the webinar was mainly for media representatives to let them know that this research and this resource exists, and to let them know that, you know, their parts of the areas of the country where they're reporting on might be considered hard to count. And it's important for them to then, you know, tell their readers or viewers about this information. We also participated in the webinar with a center at Georgetown University that has done some analysis of technology as it relates to the 2020 census, and in particular looking at the question of using the internet as the main way that people in 2020 will submit their census information. And that's also a concern because internet access is also uneven around the country. Some people have great access, some people don't. And so if you don't have good access, you could be as eager to fill out your census information as possible, but that's going to be a barrier. And so the Georgetown team was presenting that information to the media as well. So we were basically trying to get the word out about this.
So isn't it true that the rural communities are actually at risk for being not counted because of the lack of access to broadband internet?
Yeah, so the idea of a community that might be considered hard to count for the purpose of the census, they're really in a lot of different places, and they don't meet one, you know, profile, as it were. A lot of densely populated urban areas where there are a lot of renters or people in poverty or people that are recent immigrants and can't speak English that well. There are rural communities where it's hard to get to or it's hard to provide internet access, and they're going to have a hard time filling out the census. It's suburban communities. It's really everywhere. So one of the media representatives that participated in the webinar was from Texas, and there are right along the border of Texas that's some of the hardest to count communities in the country. And so they were really interested that, you know, this is something that's not just an urban northeast thing. It's right there, you know, smack in the middle of Texas.
So census counts can be very political. And in this year in June, the census director actually resigned, it operates out of the Department of Commerce. And right now, the Secretary of Commerce is potentially in some legal jeopardy and may even resign himself. And we're a little bit more than 2 years out. What do you say about the political implications, especially with this administration that has seemed to target undocumented people, immigrants? They've also insinuated that they won't be counting LGBT people either.
So the census is supposed to be a non-political, straightforward thing. Let's just count everyone. But as you're pointing out, there's a lot of issues around that, a lot of issues behind that. And, you know, people who have been involved in prior censuses are really concerned that this time around there's not enough money, there's not enough planning, there's not enough testing, there's not enough support in Congress, and there's not enough support in the administration. So we'll see what happens. It's definitely a big concern. And that's why we're starting, hopefully, early enough to try to get the word out with resources like this Hard to Count interactive map. We were involved, our team at the Graduate Center was involved in 2010 with a similar mapping application and working with the same organizations, but everyone got involved late, almost close to 2010 itself, because I think there wasn't as much of a concern. Now we're really worried several years out that, you know, the Census Bureau needs to ramp up in a lot of ways. They need to hire a lot of people. They need to do testing. So when they hit the ground running in 2020 with internet access and all that, there's no issues. And they need to ramp up their work with partner organizations so these groups can go into communities and tell people, don't be concerned. It's important to fill out this information. There's all this stuff has to be done. And there's no one at the helm, and people are really concerned. Hopefully, there's still the opportunity to right the ship, but we'll see.
So right now, anybody can have access to your interactive map. Anybody, researchers, members of the media, members of the public.
Yes.
It's on a website.
It's online at censushardtocountmaps2020.us. Anyone can access it. We design it so the map is very easy to use. You just start clicking around and getting information and easy to search. And we're going to continue to update it with more and better information as it gets closer to 2020.
Thanks very much, Steve. I think it was very informative.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to The Thought Project, and thanks to our guest, Steve Romilewski. We'll check back in with Steve as the Census 2020 Project has updated news to share with the public. The Thought Project was produced in partnership with CUNY TV, located at the Graduate Center in the heart of New York City, with production, engineering, and technical assistance by Sarah Fishman and Jack Horowitz. I'm Tanya Domi. Tune in next week.